This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tēnā koe, Free FM 89.0. Yes, at the weekend we lost the singer Bonnie Tyler has died. This is her most iconic hit. Yeah, she did release other singles, including versions of Creedence Clearwater Revival, etc., etc. We'll have more of that song a little later in the afternoon as Bonnie sings away. We'll tell you what's on my mind. Column comment, the opinion is mine. Dates, important moments in history, July 12. History and song, New Zealand Hit Parade, July 12, 1963. UK politics in turmoil. An alleged political murder. He has links to Trump, Farage versus Count Binhead. And Gary Schofield before 2 o'clock this afternoon. And before 2 p.m., we have got Dwayne Porter and Trevor Lloyd with Trevor's Talk. Yes, well, as I said, UK politics is in turmoil at this present moment. Why? There has been an alleged political murder of a lady called Anne Widdermont, and the signs are that it may have been a political murder. She was found dead in her home. One suspect was held for 24 hours and then she was released. So it's been a sad day, but the main political news, of course, is Nigel Farage. Well, this week, he resigned as the member. And then he said again, I'm standing again, so there's going to be for you a by-election in Clacton next month. The other political parties said, no, this is a stunt. So all Farage is up against is a comic character called Count Binhead. You may have seen his photos in on television and in newspapers. So it's all go at this present moment. But Nigel Farage, of course, has links to Trump. And why he's resigning? Because of all the newspaper stuff that he has been doing. It is claimed that he got £3 million, or was it £5 million, from a donor who's into Bitcoin, the same as Trump. Farage has denied it, and of course, after he called the by-election, all the major parties stepped away, and then the deputy leader of Reform UK made chicken noises, saying the other parties are chicken. But good on the other political parties, they are not playing ball with Nigel Farage. Is this the end of his political career? We'll find out within the next few months. One seven two to go, July 12, 2026. At Free FM 89.0 on a Sunday afternoon. This day in 1863, British troops cross the Mangatawhiri Stream to invade the Waikato. Stay. 1958, actress Denise Welsh, not Natalie Barnes in Coronation Street, was born. She's 68 today. In 1990, Boris Yeltsin resigns from the Communist Party. But I don't believe this is happening all over again. Oh. Oh. Oh.
I was such a fool to think that you would ever change your ways. Even put your hand upon your heart and said that no one else could take my place.
It was this day in 1925, Barbara Castle of the family band, the Castles, Indian Lake, Hare, and Lorraine the Park and everything else, Rhode Island, New York. Barbara Castle died in 1985.
And you keep on riding till you're out of the city.
It was this day in 1884, Louis B. Mayer, MGM, was born. He died in 1957. This day in 1776, Captain James Cook embarks on his final voyage. On this day in 1895, composer lyricist Oscar Hammerstein II, South Pacific, The King and I, was born. He died in 1960, and one of his greatest compositions was from the movie starring the Scottish actress Deborah Carr and Yul Brynner. I'm talking about The King and I, and here is from the soundtrack Deborah Carr and Yul Brynner at Free FM.
We've just been introduced. I do not know you well, but when the music started, something drew me to your side. So many men and girls are in each other's arms. It made me think we might be similarly occupied. Shall we dance on a bright cloud of music? Shall we fly? Shall we dance? Shall we then say goodnight and mean goodbye? Or perchance, when the last little star has left the sky, shall we still be together with our arms around each other? And shall you be my new romance? understanding that this kind of thing can happen. Shall we dance? Shall we dance? Shall we dance?
FM 89.0, independent community media. That is, of course, is the late Deborah Carr, the late Yul Brynner, and the 20th Century Fox Orchestra. Shall We Dance from The King and I. New Zealand Hit Parade, chartorg.nz, history and songs. 7 a.m., July 12, 1963. It is 1XH, The Breakfast Show, hosted by Laurie Bourke. At 8:18, Eric Holton. Listen to the bands with marching tunes and local bands. Between 5 p.m. and 5:45, we had the children's session with Uncle Peter and Aunt Hilda. We had Sunday nights with BBC Serials and Music Box with the late Peter Gwynn. Late 9:30 till late, we had light music classics and close down from Strict Protocol from 11 o'clock. It was all on to close down. And, of course, it was written in the rules. At midnight, 1XH had to close down. And after God Save the Queen, the transmitter link was cut until 6 o'clock the next morning. Oh, the old BBC, the old BBC-style NZBC in 1XH. And, of course, Laurie Bourke is also known as a broadcaster at 1XN in Whanganui. And on this day in 1963, the New Zealand number one was this song.
You'll never know how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Tell, whoa, whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words I love to hear. I'm in love with you. Closer. Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words I love to hear. I'm in love with you.
you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear.
Dakota's at Free FM 89.0. The Beatles song, Do You Want to Know a Secret? That was number one New Zealand this day in 1963. As we remember, 1XH, and there's some stories coming out of Broadcasting House, Elmer Street, that I'm going to tell you about over the next few months. Some of them are very, very funny stories. Well, this day, we are remembering Oscar Hammerstein II, who was born this day in 1895. This is another one of his productions, Shirley Jones, Gordon McRae, and the cast of Oklahoma.
And it ain't too late.
Starting as a farmer with a brand new wife.
Soon be living in a brand new state.
Brand new state, gonna treat you great.
Gonna give you barley, carrots and potatoes.
Pasture for the cattle,
spinach and tomatoes.
Flowers on the prairie where the June bugs zoom. Plenty of air and plenty of room.
Plenty of room to swing a rope.
Plenty of heart and plenty of hope.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain. Oklahoma, every night my honey lamb and I sit alone and talk and watch a hawk making lazy circles in the sky. We know we belong to the land, and the land we belong to is grand. And when we say,
by it, by oh, yeah,
we're only saying, you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. Oklahoma, where the wind.
Sorry about that. Coming up 1 o'clock, we'll check on the weather. We're going to move the weather update till around about 1 o'clock to bring in a new forecast if there's one available. So we'll head to the weather with another song written by Rodgers and Hammerstein from The Sound of Music.
Let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. When you read, you begin with
A, B, C.
When you sing, you begin with Do, Re, Mi.
Do, Re, Mi.
Do, Re, Mi. The first three notes just happen to be Do, Re, Mi.
Do, Re, Mi.
do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti. Oh, let's see if I can make it easier. Doe, a deer, a female deer. Ray, a drop of golden sun. Me, a name I call myself. Far, a long, long way to run. So, a needle pulling thread. La, a note to follow so. Tea, a drink with jam and bread. That will bring us back to dough. Oh, oh, oh,
dough!
A deer, a female deer.
Ray,
a drop of golden sun.
Me,
a name I call myself.
Far,
a long, long way to run.
So, a needle pulling thread. La,
a note to follow so.
A drink with jam and bread.
That will bring us back to dough.
A deer, a female deer. Ray, a drop of golden sun. Me, a name I call myself. Ma, a long, long way to run. So, a needle pulling thread. La, a note to follow so. Tea, a drink with jam.
Do,
re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do, so, do.
Oh, yeah, the great Julie Andrews, and from The Sound of Music, that, of course, is Do, Re, Mi, as we celebrate the life and times of Oscar Hammerstein the second today at Free FM 89.0. Let's take a look at the weather forecast for you right now, and it goes something like this. It's just 2 minutes past one, and the weather says fine, light winds, and tomorrow we're in for, what are we in for tomorrow? Don't know. A fine and frosty start, then partly cloudy with a chance of a shower from the afternoon. Easterlies turning northerly in the afternoon. Sunset this evening at 5:18 p.m. And sunrise tomorrow morning at 7:31 a.m. We've got about 13 degrees. That's why it's a bit cool in the city this afternoon. It's 2 minutes past one. Remembering Barbara Castle from the family group The Castles. She was born in Rhode Island. She died in 1985. She was the lady who sung with her boys and girls, her sons and daughters in the family group. If you watch the video, she's on this one. This is Indian Lake from 1968.
Dapple deals, weeping over the hills, for a 111 mama bear. thing, I think I love you. But I wanna know for sure. So come on, hold me tight.
Julie Andrews, Dame Julie Andrews from the Sound of Music soundtrack, the title track. We're looking back through the history of 1XH and 1ZH. 4 p.m. on every radio station owned and run by the NZBC, there was one afternoon that was set aside for 15 minutes. It was then got rid by the one and only Brian Lowe, who was then station manager at 1XH and 1ZH. Yes, Brian Lowe. He got rid of the Archers. Just a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Archer's theme. That is Sydney Tort. Well, the latest on the murder of Anne Widdecombe, the former Conservative minister and follower of the UK Reform. Police say a 28-year-old man has been arrested in South Yorkshire on suspicion of the murder of Anne Widdecombe. The suspect, who is a white British national, is now in police custody, says a statement from Devon and Cornwall. Widdecombe, a former Conservative minister turned Reform UK spokesperson, was found with serious injuries at a home. Police say she's attacked about 24 hours earlier. A man arrested earlier, 26, on suspicion of murder, was released after he was no longer part of the investigation. So we have a political murder in Britain. Anne Widdecombe, 78 years old. I used to watch her on GB News. She was very forthright and outspoken, yeah, against some of the parties. They're calling it a political murder. We'll talk more of that coming up when we talk to Gary Schofield shortly here at Free FM 89.0. Dame Kiri Te Kanawa at Free FM 89.0, as we also remember Barbara Cowsill this day. And here is the Cowsills.
She asked him why.
Why I'm a hairy guy. I'm hairy noon and
night.
My hair is a fright. I'm hairy high and low, but don't ask me why,
'cause he don't know.
It's not for lack of bread, like the grateful dead,
darling.
Give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxen, waxen. Give me down to there, shoulder length longer.
Here, baby, there, mama, everywhere, daddy, daddy.
In my hair, a home for the fleas, a hive for the buzzing bees, a nest for birds. There ain't no words for the beauty, the splendor, the wonder of my hair. Grow it, show it, long as I can grow it, my hair.
I want it long, straight, curly, fuzzy, snaggy, shaggy.
that's the Cowsills, and that is Hair at Free FM 89.0, remembering the political murder in Britain of Anne Whittacombe, the former Conservative, and of course Nigel Farage, UK reformers up against Count Binhead. We'll talk more about that very shortly. We'll welcome our guest in Mel Driscoll very, very shortly. This is the late Prince Tui Teka and A.E. Paul as we go back through our library of memories at Free FM. Prince Tui Teka and A.E. Paul at Free FM 89.0. Good afternoon, Mel.
Good afternoon. We are joined by one of the film buffs of Hamilton. I doubt anyone has seen many more films than Andrea Haynes. Well, you're president of the Alliance Française, for one thing. And that
I
involved,
was, yes, yes.
And that involved the French film festival recently.
Yes, that's right.
How did that go?
I think that went very, very well. There was a lot of interest in the films being shown and some great full houses.
And
so some of the films were very popular. The Colour of Time. I managed to get to a couple of the films, and one called The Stranger, which I thought was absolutely amazing. So I certainly brought the punters in, so maybe that's a good thing.
Well, the subtitles continue, but under a different administration, it's the New Zealand International Film Festival.
Yes, yes.
That's a big selection, but Hamilton can't see so many movies, can it?
No, we don't quite have the population 100, yes. Yeah. So the big festival goes to Auckland and Wellington, of course, and Christchurch, and then Dunedin in terms of film attendance. But Hamilton's getting 40 of the program, which is, and my look through, I'm feeling really excited about the about what's on offer. So yes, a huge range of countries, different genres, things like that. So I think it'll be great. Although there is the opportunity for people to go to Auckland, because that starts on the 29th of July. And
that's before the films open in Hamilton.
In Hamilton, exactly. Mm-hmm. So if people can see that some films aren't coming to Hamilton, they can look at the Auckland program. The whole program is actually in one big fat program for the whole country. So if there are people who are travelling to maybe Christchurch, Dunedin or Wellington, they can also catch films. It's kind of staggered, so starting in Auckland on the on the 29th of July.
And in Hamilton?
And in Hamilton is in the 26th of August.
Yep. I'm looking at the program. You've got a rugby player, the late John Olomu. You've got a political thing here with Last Man Standing, the late Jim Anderton.
Yes. There's a good selection of New Zealand films. We're starting off with a premiere screening of Big Girls Don't Cry, and that film won the audience favourite, I think, at Sundance. So it's obviously, and like what we'd like to do for our opening night, because it's going to be our opening night film, is actually have the filmmaker there, because it's really important when you have these opening nights that you have a make them really special. And normally the Hamilton Film Society put on an opening night along in conjunction with the Lido Cinema, and make it really special, because if you start off well with a film festival, have people going away thinking, wow, I want to go to a whole lot more films, that's mogus very well, which we did for the French Film Festival this time too.
It makes it so much more personal, the whole experience.
So. Yes, it feels like it's something absolutely, yes.
I'm just looking through some of the directors. You've got one, Kim Novak's Vertigo, the one and only Otto Preminger.
Indeed, yes.
Who I remember from my early days. Yeah, there's some great directors here.
There are, yes, and some that will certainly be pulling them out of the box, I would say, too. I think that's what a lot of people now look, as you do, the directors, and they're bringing in second films and third films and building up, I guess, their auteur status. Yeah.
Should you have been a filmmaker yourself?
No.
If you had your time again?
In my time again? Well, I think, yes, there's certainly been an interest in my life always. But I'm really focused on bringing audience and to get a greater kind of understanding of film, be prepared to push their boundaries a bit, which we try to do with the Hamilton Film Society.
That's a tradition that we heard years ago, decades ago. It was a bit shady. Film societies, a little.
Well, I think they just provided something more than Hollywood, and certainly films that came from Europe were often showed a very different perspective on life.
There is.
Yes, and values and things were very, very different. So, that's film societies have certainly played a huge part. And this particular film festival had its origins in the film society movement. So that's why it's sort of such a big, wide selection of film.
You make it great, because you have a French film festival, you have an Italian film festival. Any thoughts like other film festivals around New Zealand doing an LGBTQ plus film festival to show the best of gay and
There have been small film festivals that have come through, mainly gone to Auckland.
Yeah.
Our opening night film has gay lesbian themes. I think it's an awakening LGBT film. It sounds lovely.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping people will be enthused to come and see it. And as I say, if we could have the director come, or producer, or any aspect that really brings that personal touch, would be just great.
No one could ever attain the credentials of seeing every film, surely, not like the film sister, a censor who has to.
Even the most avid film goer would be make it rather difficult, I would say, to see everything in the festival.
Yep.
So we have to tailor them to our own enjoyment.
Yes.
It's all about enjoyment, entertainment.
Entertainment too, and learning, and being exposed to really new things that challenging.
So people, they fall into their own category, so to speak. They meet in common through in the case of Hamilton, the Lido Theatre. Also, there's the Film Society locally.
Yeah.
So it brings people at that point together, but other than then, they are in their separate compartments in the dark, almost. different preferences, taking them down a different selection.
Indeed, yes. Although what we're trying to do in the Film Society now is provide a real range of films that, and then once a month we all go out to dinner. People are invited to go out to dinner afterwards, and then we talk about the films. Yep. We always preview the films and give people an introduction to the yep. films. So that's a good aspect.
The unsung heroes of the Lido are the staff there, and when I go in there to go to a movie, they're so young, so friendly, and they do anything for you. Just hand over them a Super Gold card and click, click, away we go. Do you want an ice cream, sir? Do you want something to eat? I have to praise the young staff at the Lido for their service. It is brilliant.
Yeah. But it's certainly going to be an exciting few. I mean, we have to wait a month to get the festival at the theatre, but in the meantime, there's opportunities to perhaps pop up to Auckland and go and see something that you particularly want to see, but it's not coming here. Yeah. That's the other thing.
I see Cambridge is not on the itinerary this time because they did have some entries in the last film
the
festival.
French. Yes, the
Cambridge is not on the route this time.
No. So anyway, as I say, I'm really looking forward to the festival, and it's starting as I say, on the 26th, and will, I'm sure, be very sought after. You know, some of the films there, I'm sure, will be of great interest here.
To conservationists, no doubt that would include In Search of My Moiho. Do you know anything personally about that one?
I don't, actually. I think that's not actually coming to Hamilton, which is a bit... a bit sad. I think it might be going to one of the...
You must be saddened when you see that the films you are most looking forward to seeing are on outside our region.
Yes. Well, that's the reason I'm sort of pushing a bit for the... to go and make use of of the program now is giving the opportunity for people to have a look.
An opportunity
what they
to
can do.
Literally tap into any century. There's any number of films that have historical context.
Yes, indeed.
And then the category that could be called solving crimes.
Indeed, yes. All sorts of themes and interests, I would say. Yes,
yeah,
you've got particular one you're looking at.
Yeah, better turn the microphone on first. This one with Jonah Lomu. Of course, we all know that his wife was controlling his life and still controls his life after death. And this is probably an insight with Jonah Lomu and his family, along with Mark Kingsley Jones, of course, and Laurie Maine's a part of it. But his life was kind of controlled by his wife.
Well, I'm sure the film will certainly delve quite deeply into what underpins his life. Actually, to go completely off track.
Yeah.
But my husband and I watched or listened to the final of the Kiri Te Kanawa opera, you know, the aria contest yesterday, and this young singer from Tonga won. So I was just thinking there, he was a counter tenor, which was lovely. So, I mean, I think it's great to have those two connections in the films.
I've just played Dame Kiri Te Kanawa's version of Wakari Kariana. So,
oh, great. Yeah.
Oh, it brought the house down when it first came out, remember? It was recorded live and it was beautiful. So she's retired, but she's still got...
Oh, she still has the foundation and she spoke really, really well last night. It was a wonderful, wonderful concert. Yeah.
Social problems often loom large, and the kind of characters and the parts that they play, concerns of the community as a whole, but personalised on one family.
Oh, yes.
Almost always such a film, I noticed.
Yeah.
Were you once selecting these films that would go...
No. We have a guest selector. Mm-hmm. Paolo Bertoloni is the film sort of top selector, and he is assisted by people and a group of other people. And some selections were also given opportunity. Some selectors were also given opportunities through the Film Society movement. So we had two or three here in Hamilton who were given films to look at. So it sort of pushes that place that the Film Society is still very, very involved with this festival. So
And the Film Society itself is a charitable organisation.
Yes, indeed, it is. So,
how many years in Hamilton?
To next year will be the 80th year of the Hamilton Film Society in Hamilton. Yep. So there will be a big celebration, I can promise that.
Make a date on Saturday 5 September, because what's going to happen is A Dog's Tale, Foot Rot Flats.
Yes.
This classic movie directed by Murray Ball, and of course the voice of the late John Clark, Fred Dagg, as well. And of course, did he play the dog? I forget. But it's a classic movie, and it was made in 1986 with the late, great Murray Ball, the Gisborne cartoonist. So take the family along. It's still a great movie to go along and watch.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the film festival always has a what they call treasures, or films that have been really important in the past, and they bring them back. There's usually a collection of about six. We're getting Out of the Blue, which is from Robert Sarkis, the one about Aramoana shootings. And we're getting, as you said, Foot Rot Flats.
it should be a great night.
It should be a wonderful night.
Is it a new print, or has it been put through the system in stereo and given a new bit of a soundtrack and all that? And but take the kids along.
It's remastered in 4K.
So that's the word I was trying to get out. So.
Yeah, remastered. So it'll be... It will look great, and I'm sure will definitely be of most interest to the families.
And a few films reserved for screening in the smaller centres. Matakana, for instance.
Yes.
There's Hamilton. We're not so small, but others might be, like Cambridge, usually had featured, but not this time, it seems.
Yeah.
In respect of the International Film Festival, there's other centres, New Plymouth, Masterton. That must take a lot of organisation.
One thing I would like to stress a little bit is we have two really lovely animated features this time from France. There's one called Arco, and the other one is Little Amelie, or The Character of Rain. And I actually really, really love animation, and I know there's a reasonable following of people here. So it actually got the best feature, NESI International Animation Film Festivals. So they're top quality, and I think they should certainly be also of interest.
Yeah, I like animation too, because I remember I was brought up with Hanna-Barbera movies and the old Looney Tunes with Warner Brothers and the MGM Tom and Jerry. So the animation is out there, and of course Walt Disney, of course. And so is this modern animation, or what year are we looking at?
Oh, we're looking at 2025.
Yeah, that's pretty current. So,
Hey,
Andrea, it's been a pleasure talking to you again, and we'll bring you back in. Just before you do go, just a reminder at today. Today is the birthday of the one and only Louis B. Mayer of MGM. He was born this day, died in 1957. He made and broke Judy Garland, of course, among others, Mickey Rooney. From 1939, here is Over the Rainbow, the late, great Judy Garland.
Somewhere over the rainbow,
Britain, they're going to have a by-election in Clacton. Nigel Farage has this week announced he's leaving due to allegations he's got to face and family problems, but he's coming back. But he's up against a guy called Count Binhead. As you know, British political elections can be quite funny. Let's try this.
...needs of the constituency. And behind me, yes, I can just see the returning officer moving to the front of the platform.
As the acting returning officer on the world...
The acting returning officer, Mr. E. Blackadder, of course, and we're all very grateful indeed that he stepped in at the last minute when the previous returning officer accidentally, brutally stabbed himself in the stomach while shaving.
The number of votes cast as follows. Brigadier General Horace Balsam.
Keep royalty white rat catching and safe sewage residence party.
No votes. Iva Jesty Nod Madam Biggin.
Standing at the back dressed stupidly and looking stupid party.
That is British politics, and it's, of course, Nigel Farage, who's a Trump loyalist, up against Count Binhead. Good afternoon, Gary Schofield.
No, it's not Gary.
Oh.
Not quite. We're welcoming Trevor Green of Mutta Mutta. 78 years of age, you've gathered a lot of experience on life. And when
a little bit around. That's what all buggers are around for.
And Trevor, looking at the situation that people are complaining of at the Hamilton Hospital, Waikato, you think that there's a limit to how much the existing arrangement can serve the public?
Well, when something goes wrong at the hospital, people are quick to blame your doctors, your nurses, this is the problem. But if you need to look at the bigger picture, now that hospital is 70 years old, the buildings are past their use-by date. And it needs a lot of upgrading to meet the latest standards for nurses and doctors. So what do we do about it? That site is very limited. So let's look elsewhere. And what else can we do?
Have you in your past been in ED, accident emergency?
Yes.
Like me, for nearly 10 hours?
No, I was in there for about 6 hours. I've been in more than once. I went in with a crooked gut, so sent by my doctor straight from the surgery to the hospital, and I spent about 6 hours before I got seen.
We've had a succession of health ministers. The latest, of course, is Simeon Brown, who's I don't know where he's coming from. His performance as health minister, has left a lot to be desired.
I think he's a lot better than the last administration of health minister and the opposition spokesman as health minister.
Yep, her too, and others.
And she's a doctor.
Yeah, well,
Waikato Hospital is encountering difficulties over accommodating all the people who populate its wards and the laboratories and every other department of this massive institution, one of the largest, if not so, in New Zealand, I believe, Waikato. So what do you think is the future of such a hot hospital that's outgrown its site almost?
Well, as I say, when you look at the history, that site was purchased in 1888, which was a lot of forethought. It's now 2026. What is needed? We need more space. Yeah, it's sitting on top of a hill, so we need a nice big flat space, better access. It doesn't have to be in a city today. It can be on the fringes down Tamaheri, or we've still got good access for everything.
Well, here's an idea.
I believe the rebuild is the only logical answer.
Well, here's an idea, guys. We've got a medical school being built at Waikato University. Well, why not build a new hospital on the site of the University of Waikato? You've got the medical school all there.
I don't think it's big enough.
Well, there's lots of room at the University of Waikato.
Yeah, but it's not an easy place to get to. You want direct access off the expressway.
Yeah, well, you've got to deal with building consents. You've got to deal with the farmers who may have their land taken off them to build the facility. So, yeah, maybe, but put the medical school with the Waikato Hospital. You can have in-house training.
Well, unless we go back to health training and the old system that we used to use where nurses did the equivalent of an apprenticeship to learn how to, instead of going to polytechs to learn nothing. Sorry.
Sorry, my elder sister trained at... She lived in one of the nursing homes, which I don't think no longer exist there at the hospital. So, yeah, no, my sister did nurse train at, and another cousin also nurse trained at Waikato Hospital. And, of course, we also trained a famous plastic surgeon at Waikato Hospital too. So, it is getting old, but that's life, and health is under the government. Hey, we all remember when the government tried to force a pan tax on people. You had to pay for your hospital bed, but that didn't last very long.
I don't remember that, but...
Well, Trevor, thank you for your input. There'll be a lot of talk in the coming months as we approach a general election about...
Yeah, we just need people to look outside the square and stop blaming the first person they see, which is the doctor or the nurse.
Thank you. Trevor Green of Matamata.
Oh, and I apologise. I thought we were going to speak to Gary, but hopefully...
Let's try.
Let's try very shortly. But right now, I'm going to go back to British politics, Blackadder style. Let's try this again.
Smeared my opponent, bribed the press to be on my side, and threatened to talk to the electorate if we lost. Failed to see what more a decent politician could have done.
Quite. Now, I would... And now, finally, a word with the man who is at the centre of this by-election mystery, the voter himself. And his name is Mr. E. Mr. Blackadder, you are the only voter in this rotten borough.
Yes, that's right.
How long have you lived in this constituency?
Since Wednesday morning. I took over from the previous electorate when he very sadly, accidentally, brutally cut his head off while combing his hair.
One voter, 16,472 votes. A slight anomaly?
Not really, Mr. Hanna. You see, Mr. Baldrick may look like a monkey who's been put in a suit and then strategically shaved, but he is a brilliant politician. The number of votes I cast is simply a reflection of how firmly I believe in his policies.
Well, that's excellent. Well, that's all for me. Another great day for democracy in our country. Vincent Hanna, Country Gentleman's Pig Fertilizer Gazette, Dunny on the World.
That is how Blackadder saw elections. And as I said, it's Nigel Farage up against Count Binhead right now in Britain. Good afternoon to, is this Gary Schofield? Good afternoon, Gary.
Good afternoon, Bruce.
Yeah, we'll talk about that shortly, what's going on. We've got a political murder at the moment going on in Britain at the moment with Anne Whitcomb, and we'll talk about that. But it's all got links back to Donald Trump. Mel?
Well, it's over to our expert, Gary Schofield.
And I would just like to say, before we get into all those wonderful and exciting hot topics, is certainly whether Trump has had anything to do with this murder, for example. I did want to just say that there is a wonderful event coming up in Hamilton next Sunday, and it is a charity for a wonderful cause, which is hospice, and I'll be there performing and playing the actually chosen piece of music that I wrote, Starte Infide, and it's five-course meal. The best chefs in the region each produce their best course, and for $200 you can help contribute to that, and I'll be happy to talk through my composition. It's going to be sung by a leading young vocalist whose name is Isabella Reed, and it's going to be a wonderful experience for all. So I would just recommend that we all go along to that and help support great causes.
Anyway, What I'm trying to say is I don't think Trump's involved with Anne Whitcomb's death, but he's got his finger in the pie when it comes to donations, especially from Bitcoin. We've spoken about Bitcoin. Why Nigel Farage is resigning? He's been accused of having had a donation of about £5 million from a guy who deals in Bitcoin, and that's got him very upset with everybody else. And I heard him screaming at people and his co-leader making chicken noises because the other parties won't play ball. So it's, as I said, it's Nigel Farage versus Count Binhead.
Well, very true, and you bring up excellent points, and that is about money and influence, also about lobbying, you know, the power of and also insider trading. You know, that's the other possibility that you have when you achieve great power in every country, and we do have, of course, laws, but you wonder how much this is kept in check even in our own country.
Yep.
You know, that as interests become more and more wealthy and powerful, they have more of a lean on the decisions that are made. This is the general shape of our future, the general way that civilization works, and we have to keep that in check. So yes, you're right, very many interesting political moves happening. Farage always has a modus operandi, let me say, for what he does and when he resigns and what he expects that to achieve for him. So we'll see how this plays out.
Well,
but yes, and as I've said, you know, with Donald Trump, his agenda has been sidetracked by the war in the Middle East, and I would consider that to be a tar baby, where if you hit it, you end up getting stuck to it no matter how you try and extract yourself.
Yeah, of course, they've been throwing bullets and bombs at each other again. This treaty has not lasted very long.
Correct. I don't see this as a major issue in the world because there is an oil glut. And that's something that really hasn't been explained to us well, because, of course, there is such an opportunity to profit from extreme prices, but there is an oil glut is the main fear that a lot of people have. I'm more concerned with things that we all should be concerned with, such as China lobbing a nuclear-capable missile towards a nuclear-free zone. Okay. Things like that, I think, are a wake-up call for us to realize that there's more to the world than the Middle East.
And finally, David Hearn, the Olympic canoeist, he appeared in court, and it looks as if the judge may throw the case out. I don't think the case will go very far, according to some of the lawyers I've heard on television. They think it's a joke. He was only touching the water. He wasn't pulling up what was under the algae. I wouldn't put my hands in a bowl of algae either. So I think this case will go nowhere.
Yes, I suspect you're right on that one, as you usually are in most of your insights.
Hey, we'll catch you next week.
I look forward to that.
Hey, have a good Sunday afternoon.
That was.
Will do.
Gary. Bye for now. Gary Schofield, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
And good now we move on to the question of shipping. Dwayne Porter.
Good afternoon.
So what's coming in to the port of Tauranga? You've got a few vessels, it seems. Marius, for instance, that came in from Melbourne.
Yep, and she sailed the same day.
They sometimes turn around so fast, don't they? How about the Bella Stella?
Yeah, Bella Stella, she's halfway through getting a load now, so she'll due up this afternoon or tomorrow morning.
Going to sea. And the Maersk Rio India from Sydney.
Yes, Mel. She arrived in and she's gone to Lyttelton to pick up a load.
Ardmore Encounter.
Yes, Ardmore Encounter. She's a log boat or container boat. She's going to sail out. She's already getting a load. She'll be sailing and then she'll probably be back in Tauranga by middle of September.
Different bodies have...
You keep tabs on all of them that you can, updating the list when it changes. What about, for instance, today, the Xinjiang Zhu? It's coming from Auckland. And where does it go after it leaves Tauranga?
Well, depends on where it's going to go, because if it's going to leave Auckland, she'll probably sit in Auckland and then they'll tell her where to go, because sometimes it goes out to sea or sometimes it'll just sit there. But what I'm saying is that with the ports, with the boats now, we got told the other day that I think they're going to stop the shipping side of it. Because it sounds like Donald Trump has stopped the borderline again, and that's why we've got to keep tabs on it. Here we are, we're sending the fuel boats over. At the moment, this week or next week, you've got about 6 or 8 fuel boats arriving in.
Hey, that's it. We'll try and get a bit of Trevor in before we go shortly. We've been looking at Oscar Hammerstein's birthday today. From the soundtrack of The Sound of Music, Oscar Hammerstein II, and so long, farewell. Time to say good afternoon to Trevor. Trevor Lloyd, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. People that watch TV probably understand or appreciate what I'm going to say today. As you watch a reality programme, which could be quite interesting, and followed all the way through, because there's a narrator putting you in the picture, and in the end, the summary of what you've been watching, there's no narrator, it's all written out in words, only on the screen for a very, very short time. You have to be a speed reader to read it, yeah, and it is the plot of what the whole thing you've been watching all this time. Another thing is at the end of the movies and that, you notice that all the people involved in the making of what you've been watching flashes up the screen at a rapid pace. No human being in the world could read what it's all about. Who did what?
They've got to get the next ad in, Trevor.
Yeah. Well, that'd take their time, I can tell you.
Hey, thank
that.
You, guys. It's been a pleasure. We've run out of time. We'll leave you with the late Bonnie Tyler.
I can do a total eclipse of the heart.
This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.